Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and it's great to be with you once again. On today's show, we are going to be talking all about superannuation, but really focusing in on the different strategies which Australians can employ at various ages and stages of their lives, which means that we're really going to be doing some takeaways for basically everyone today. So to guide us through all things super, I'm very pleased to say that I'm joined by Money's senior journalist, Vita Palestrant, who has written an excellent piece on this very topic for the November edition of Money Magazine. So Vita, welcome back to the podcast. It is an absolute pleasure to have you back on again.
Good to be here, Tom.
Before we really dive into age-specific strategies, I'd love to lay the groundwork a little bit with a broader question, which is, why does our super matter? And I guess related to that, do you think a lot of us could be taking it a bit more seriously than we actually do?
Absolutely. I think because super is compulsory and the employer puts the 10.5% in to the default fund on your behalf, people tend to switch off. They go on to automatic pilot. Now, that is one of the strengths of super, that there is this compulsory element to it. But, you know, you might not be in the best performing fund. You might not know terribly much about strategies that can reduce your tax and boost your super. So being engaged from the very beginning can save you a lot of heartache later on. You really have to get with the program the minute you start. Learn about super. It is complicated. There's no way around it, but that's because it wants equity in the system. It wants to encourage you to save. And there are different limits, there are contribution caps, there are age limits, there are all sorts of things that you need to understand to maximize your super. Now, in fact, I went to our research department to see how it's performed since inception. Mm. Okay, so how did the balanced or default investment option perform? And the average return was 6.8%, so nearly 7% a year, every year since then.
Wow.
Now, that's going to beat anything you shove in the bank. It doesn't have any tax breaks. So it really is very successful at wealth creation. Now, the boomers haven't had the benefit of super all this time. When we go back to 1992, when it was introduced, the compulsory contribution rate was only 3%, whereas it's 10.5% now and due to go up to 12% over the next few years. You young guys are going to do well, providing you're engaged.
Well, that's it. Well, that kind of brings us perfectly around to the first kind of age group that we wanted to talk about, because I think it makes sense that, you know, we start off by talking about Australians in their 20s and 30s, who I guess are in the relatively early stages of their working lives, but may not have given a great deal of thought to their super just yet, i.e., me. So Vita, what's a takeaway or two that you came across while researching your piece for people in this age bracket, in their 20s and 30s?
Well, as a parent, I sort of have firsthand experience. People in their 20s and 30s think they're immortal and invincible and therefore don't have to pay too much attention.
I think that's spot on.
And that they'll catch up later. They're more fun things to do right now. But, I mean, if people are serious about their super, just making small contributions now means you don't really have to sort of find huge chunks of money later on, because over the decades that money is going to be in your default fund, it's going to be compounding year on year on year on year and accumulating quite a nice balance. So it makes sense to start then. The other thing is, I mean, the nice thing about super is it does all it can to encourage people to create their wealth and to make the most of it. And people in this sort of demographic are pretty much absorbed by buying their first home. That's very important to them. And as you know, prices have gone bonkers. Now, that's taken into account with the first home super saver scheme. You can make extra contributions into your super and then eventually take 50,000 of those extra contributions out, okay, that you've made. So this is over and above the compulsory element. Now, if both of you and your partner do it, the limit, the cap on it is 50,000. You can have 100,000 together between you to buy your first home. And the other beauty about it is this arrangement, the scheme, comes with tax breaks and a deemed earnings rate. The earnings are based on the 90-day bank bill rate plus 3 points, 3%, which is better than most savings accounts. Mm. So if the share market goes backwards, you're protected. So not only does it have tax benefits and it makes you more disciplined about saving for your first home, it also has those safety measures. But as with everything, you know, I think you have to check these things out, see what the rules are so you don't break any of them, and then set it up. But I think it's one of the things that this younger demographic are very focused on.
Absolutely. And like you said, having that little bit of security with that deeming rate is good to know. It's something that I didn't quite appreciate. I think it's probably time to move on to those in their 40s and 50s now, though, Vita. Obviously, a lot of people in this cohort will be in the middle stages of their working lives and hopefully earning a bit more money than they did back in their 20s and 30s. But when it comes to super, what's something that, you know, people in this age group could be doing or thinking about?
Well, they should be sort of salary sacrificing more into super. It is a very demanding period because people still have the mortgage and they've got the kids mouths to feed, and so absolutely, it can become quite difficult. One of the more helpful strategies that couples in this sort of situation where they've got kids and all, and one of the partners is at home with them, not accumulating super, is to split, is to do a super split, an agreement between the partners that the one spouse contributes to both accounts. Well, it's usually the husband. But if they do so, they've still got to watch that concessional contribution cap. But it's a good way of making sure that the stay-at-home spouse doesn't fall behind.
Interesting. I'd never heard of super splitting before either, Vita. So another good takeaway for sure.
Yeah, and it at least sort of contributes to more equity, for both partners, that one isn't missing out. And that's a big thing for women, especially if they get divorced. Their super is pretty, pretty low because of child rearing and caring for elderly parents. So that is something that is good for both parties. What everyone should do is get onto the various calculators, either their super fund or VATO has got one, and start working out at this point what you're going to need for a comfortable retirement, and how easily are you going to get to that sum to generate it. So to generate a replacement income, one day your salary is going to stop. A lot of people just can't even envisage such a thing. They think it's going to go on forever. And it's quite a stressful thing to realize that you are going to have to rely on that super that you've been contributing to see you through to your end of days. Pay for all the emergencies, the income, the works.
And as you said, I guess the earlier you start to look at that and start to use these kind of calculators to work that out,
absolutely,
whether you're in your 40s or 50s, then brilliant.
It's much better that you're shocked at that point than at 65.
Well, that's another perfect segue to talk about people who are a little bit closer to their retirements, people perhaps in their 60s and above. So something that you wrote in your article, Vita, is that, you know, even those on the cusp of, you know, leaving the workforce have the scope to boost their superannuation balances. So I guess I'm interested in perhaps how people can do that and what else people in that kind of 60s and over age bracket may want to be thinking about when it comes to their super.
Okie doke. So when people are in their 60s, if they resign from a job, any job, they can access their super at going to pension phase where the earnings are tax-free. That's terribly attractive. Ooh, it doesn't
lovely.
Stop them from going and getting another job. At 65, you can retire and you can access your super and do what you like with it. You can withdraw the lot or you can put it into pension phase where the earnings will be tax-free and you can draw down, if you want, you can draw down on it. And once again, caps and age, this is where age limits and caps and all those sorts of things come in. So you have to be careful. And that's why I said earlier on, you know, get familiar with the rules. So you can time things so you don't exceed things or you're not sort of locked out of doing something that will help you. Mm. You can only put 1.7 million into pension phase. If you're lucky enough to have more than that,
it's
got to stay in accumulation phase where its earnings are taxed at 15%. The cap is 1.7 million currently. And actually, I mean, there are a whole lot of wealthy people that will have some of it in accumulation because 15% in accumulation, 15% is less than they'd pay outside of super anyway. So it's a no-brainer. So there are all these little, you know, things that you can work to your advantage that you should really start getting on top of at the start of the journey.
So something I should be researching
yes,
now.
Yes, absolutely. And actually, you know, the more familiar you are with it all at the beginning, the better off you're going to make informed decisions. If you leave it to 65, honestly, it's in a way too late. There'll be things you wish you had done and didn't do.
I think that's an excellent point. It's very easy sometimes to neglect something like super and like you said, get towards retirement and look back and think, oh no, I wish I'd known that. I wish I'd done that.
You can't go backwards in time.
Exactly. But before we go, Vita, I'm curious to know if there was you know, any one tip, trick, strategy, or maybe a piece of wisdom that you came across during your research, which really resonated with you and might do the same with everyone listening.
I think it really gets back to being on top of it. You know, just, you know, for example, with the seniors, where time is critical, they could join something like National Seniors, get familiar with that, find out what everybody else is up to. And often people do regret not having acted earlier. But I don't want to end on a dismal note. I mean, you know, super really is terrific at wealth creation and it offers you all sorts of ways of boosting that balance. There's so many, there are too many to go into here because rules do apply. But if you know about them, you can use them.
Wonderful. I think it's a lovely place to end, Vita. So we'll call it a day there. But thank you so much for joining us because it's been a real pleasure chatting.
Thanks, Tom. It was great being here.
And don't forget that you can read Vita's piece in full in the latest edition of Money Magazine, which is on sale right now. You can also browse through even more articles on everything from superannuation to property, including from both Vita and myself, by heading over to moneymag.com.au. We'd also love to hear from you if you have any questions, comments, or even story ideas. So to send something our way, make sure you use our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. Of course, if you enjoy listening to Friends with Money, we would love for you to recommend it to your own friends and family, or you can leave us a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. And while you're there, hit the subscribe button to make sure that you don't miss out on our future episodes. That's it for this episode of Friends with Money, though, but we'll be back in your feeds next week. I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.